This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Historically, rates of breast cancer in black women had been lower than that of white women, though the trend has changed somewhat and the rates now are about the same. But what hasn't changed is the higher mortality rate among African American women. According to the American Cancer Society, black women are about 40% more likely to die from breast cancer than white women. Some of the reasons for this include late detection and lack of proper health care, but a recent study provides some additional clues. Researchers at the University of North Carolina Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center launched the study. It was led by Stephanie Wheeler, a professor of health policy and management at UNC Chapel Hill, and she joins us now. Stephanie, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Give us an overview of your research and what you found.
Sure. So this was funding from the American Cancer Society to support this work. And we surveyed women who were part of the Carolina Breast Cancer Study cohort, which is a large prospective study of women throughout North Carolina from 44 different counties. And the study was really interested in understanding access to care and survivorship issues for women with breast cancer. And what was really unique about the study is that we over-recruited African-American women and women younger than 50. Both of those groups are typically underrepresented in most other studies. So it was a unique opportunity to look at treatment differences in these two populations.
And what'd you find?
Yeah, so really interesting results. So first and foremost, when we looked at endocrine therapy adherence, which endocrine therapies are recommended for women who have hormone receptor positive disease, this is a therapy that should be taken for 5 to 10 years and is associated with huge reductions in recurrence risk. We found that at 2 years post-diagnosis, so not even halfway through the full duration of therapy, 1 in 4 black women were not taking the medication as prescribed, compared to 16% of white women. So a very large racial difference in adherence to this life-saving medication. And in addition to that, we looked at a lot of different reasons for non-adherence, everything from side effects to cost to their beliefs about the benefit of endocrine therapy. And across the board, black women were reporting all of these as barriers to their adherence.
So let's break them down. Let's talk about, let's start with cost, I suppose, and let's start there.
Mm-hmm. With respect to cost, cost was one of the lower predictors mm-hmm. of overall non-adherence. When we asked women about whether they were not taking the pills due to cost, approximately 17% of black women were saying that that was a concern for them versus about 7% of white women. So this is, again, you know, not super common, but a concern for a lot of these women.
So what was the biggest reason?
So the biggest reason was actually ambivalence about the benefit of the therapy. When we talk about the side effects and the burden of taking a medication every day for up to 10 years versus what they perceive the risk reduction to be in terms of recurrence, most of the women who were non-adherent were more often saying that they didn't see the benefit or they didn't understand the benefit. And at the end of the day, it wasn't worth it to them.
Yeah, I would think compliance would be low. Any therapy that has to be taken daily for 10 years, I would think at some point there's a big drop off. But you're saying there is a difference now.
Right, absolutely. And again, this is a therapy that a lot of my medical oncology friends stress is more important even than your chemotherapy. So it is a drug that works. It's wildly successful. And in the grand scheme of things, doesn't cost a lot of money. So if we can help women understand the true benefits and really support them as they're coping with this daily expectation, then that can be really beneficial.
There are other costs as well, though, and those are the side effects. And talk about the impact they may have had.
Yeah, so this is a really important issue. So this is a medication that, depending on whether you're taking tamoxifen or aromatase inhibitors, it's associated with a lot of side effects. So hot flashes, night sweats, joint pain if you're on aromatase inhibitors. And all of these side effects were very common in this patient population, as we would expect. What's interesting is when we control for factors like your belief in the medication's efficacy and the extent to which you experienced a shared decision-making process with your provider, when we control for those things, actually side effects is not predictive of non-adherence.
Among white women and black women?
That's right. And so we attribute this to a concept called resilience. And so we actually have done some qualitative work interviewing both black and white women who are taking this medication. And they talk about this. They talk about adaptive strategies and coping mechanisms that they use. Very creative coping mechanisms in some cases, walking around with fans and water bottles and, you know, walking in general can make a big difference for joint pain. So contrary to popular belief, side effects are very burdensome and they do affect women's quality of life. But at least in our study, they don't seem to be the predominant factor that's leading to non-adherence.
So the key is in whether or not you're going to apply all of these good tricks for becoming resilient and dealing with it has to do with whether you think it's worth it, whether
Absolutely.
It's going to actually do any good. And you've been very clear about this in everything that you've said and written, that this is not about blaming the victim.
Right.
So what do we do about this?
I think that some of the opportunities here are really working with women to support them in understanding their personal and specific barriers. So for some women, it may be cost. For other women, it may be, you know, just this problem with not really believing or not understanding the risk reduction. For others, it's just the logistical issues of getting the medication refilled promptly and remembering to take it on a day-to-day basis. So because there's this multitude of factors that are differentially experienced by different women, we need strategies and interventions that can meet women where they are. And they need to be culturally competent. One of the things that we're looking at is the potential for motivational interviewing counseling to work individually with women to understand what their goals are of treatment, and then to try to help them problem solve and find solutions that work for them.
Well, you talk about the importance of working one woman at a time with this, and yet we have seen a culturally, statistically significant difference along racial lines. So let's talk a little bit more about that, and I want to bring into the conversation now Dr. Doris Brown, a medical oncologist and former president of the National Medical Association, recently retired from the National Cancer Institute, where she managed breast cancer programs. Dr. Brown, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
What do you make of these findings? Were you surprised by the findings in this study?
Not really. Again, knowing about the Carolina breast cancer cohort and the participation of looking at the large group of African-American women in the study, again, no, it was not surprising. I think we know from African-Americans participating in clinical trials, the numbers have been very low, but because there was an oversampling in this particular study, the area that I think was really very important is that these women did not want to stop taking therapy. They did understand that this had some benefit, but I think the duration of the therapy has always been of concern, particularly when you talk about taking a medication for 5 to 10 years. And as Dr. Wheeler has spoken about, in terms of looking at some of the, say, taking out the side effects and comparing that to the two groups, that there were some resiliency issues that would come into effect. I think the other real issue is having those women have a closer relationship with the healthcare providers that's giving them the therapy, and that there perhaps should be some greater concordance. And again, I don't know whether that was looked at in the study, whether the provider and the patient were of the same racial and ethnic group in convincing those patients that it was important to maintain the duration of taking that therapy, in addition to recognizing the side effects and the importance of those side effects. And I think the one issue that I have seen in patients that have to take medications for a long period of time is that you really have to have a shared responsibility of getting them to understand, because many times African-American women, because they did not participate in the original study to get that drug to market, the side effects that they may be speaking about may be considered less important and not one of the 4 or 5 major ones. And so when they say, well, I have some muscle aching, well, that's not one of the top 5 or 10 side effects. And so perhaps it is not of that great significance, and they discard that. The provider may discard it. Or maybe when they are talking with the patient, not really connecting in a communicative way to really have them know that you're sharing in this responsibility, and so you're getting some muscle aches. So let's kind of work to see how we can lower that. And maybe it is related to that, but it may be related to something else that you're taking, or the combination of things. Because I think when we look at African-American women or African-American patients, many of them come in with other conditions. So they may have one or two other chronic diseases that they're taking medications for, and we need to look at in a study the combination of the chemotherapeutic agent or the endocrine therapy combined with the other medications that they're taking, and does that have an impact on the therapy that they're taking? And we haven't really looked at that.
Stephanie Wheeler, that's the next part of your study, right? Figuring out ways to implement some of these changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we just finished a pilot study at UNC Lineberger where we recruited racially diverse women to participate in a motivational interviewing intervention study. Right. And colleagues of ours at Ohio State University at the same time were testing a text message reminder intervention study to help women with the daily issues that some face around remembering to take medication. Both studies were very successful in the pilot stage, and we've just finished writing a grant recently to combine the interventions and look at the potential benefit of having different mediators of the adherence process being targeted. So remembering and then also the motivational interviewing, really getting at problem solving for women.
I want to thank you both for being on the program. Stephanie Wheeler is lead author of the study launched by the University of North Carolina Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center. She's also a professor of health policy and management at UNC Chapel Hill. Dr. Doris Brown is a medical oncologist and former president of the Black Physicians Group and the National Medical Association, and retired from the National Cancer Institute. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we're going to talk about the human health effects of coal ash on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.